Luke 2. I want to read verses 8 through 20, and then we're going to pray. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the flocks and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known to the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Loving Father, thank you for your word, for making known to us that which we otherwise would not know. We are thankful for this opportunity to look into that word. And Father, we recognize that we need help in understanding the word. And we need your spirit to move. We need you to help us to set aside the things that maybe would distract us in these moments and allow us to see what you'd want us to see. We are so thankful to be able to have this word that shows us the advent of Jesus, the incarnation of him coming, taking on flesh as God in the flesh, taking on a human body that we might be redeemed. Father, we have great needs here today. We have those that are struggling, those that need prayer. I think of Vern View. I think of Charlotte Ray, Mary Hudson, and others that are sick. Those that are in our congregation that have things that they're working through and working on. There are relational issues here that we're concerned with as well in our families, with friends, and so forth. And Father, I pray that you would minister into each of those, that you would help in every way. And Father, we're thankful that you do answer prayer. We call and you answer. You've invited us to the throne of grace in time of need. And thank you for that. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for the confidence that we have. And Father, I pray in these moments you move, that those who are before you in this audience, those who are on our live stream feed, that you would speak to them, that they would not be the same because of what they've heard today. And I would ask that. I would ask that you'd help me to proclaim as I should. And both the listener and I to respond, to be moved as you would please. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. It has been said that familiarity breeds contempt. Contempt may be a little strong, but I know that familiarity can breed apathy into our spiritual lives. It can lead us to miss the awe and wonder of the Christmas story, something we've heard time and again. You know, at this time of year and on this Sunday, we can easily yawn our way, perhaps sleep our way through the story. Now, I don't think that'll happen today. I think it's a little too cool in here for you to sleep, but a Savior's born. We celebrate that. My hope is that as I share with you, that the Spirit of God would stir your hearts to these amazing and awe-inspiring events. I've been asking God that we would rediscover joy as we contemplate the advent of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm trusting that as we consider again that God sent his Son on an incredible rescue mission, that this would move our hearts to praise. It would move us to adoration and a deeper joy that transcends everything we are dealing with, everything we're surrounded with. There are five facts from this account that I want to speak to you today about, I think, that help us to rediscover joy. Joy is rediscovered as we see who the message was directed to. Look with me again in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and watching over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood around them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you, notice, good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Joy is rediscovered as we see who the message was directed to that first Christmas night. The shepherds. Shepherds. Shepherds in our Lord's day, and we may think differently of them, but in our Lord's day, in that culture, they were not very well respected. They were not allowed to witness in a court trial, for instance. They were considered near the bottom of society's pecking order. But God reaches out to them. He reaches out to the common man, and the less than common, if you would. And he gives them a message. He has a message for them. I love this. Because it gives me joy to think there is level ground at the foot of the cross. Whether you're a pauper or a great leader, we're all on level ground before the Lord. No matter one's standing among men or peers, we all are equally needy and have access at the foot of Jesus. So God didn't make this announcement, think about it, to the religious leaders, to some political leader, to the authorities of the day, to kings or to powerful politicians. He chose lowly shepherds. And I think this says something to you and I, that God is for us. God is for us. These shepherds, this message is directed to them, and it's also directed to sinners. See, these shepherds were just like all shepherds and all people of all time. They were desperate for a Savior. They needed a Savior because they needed to be saved. They need to be saved because they're sinners, and the penalty of sin is separation from God. We are the same. We are the same. Notice the heart of God in this event. He's all about reconciling man to himself. That's the heart of our God. He cares for people. He cares for his creation. He loves them. And his heart for man is that they might be saved, that they might know him, that they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will I die, O house of Israel?" God's heart, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants mankind to come into a saving relationship to Jesus Christ that they might know him. 1 Timothy 2:4, speaking of the Lord, he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's heart. He has a desire. That's why he sent his son, that you and I might know him. He desires all to be saved. You're one of the all. Everyone hearing my voice at this time, God wants something of you. He wants you to be saved. Saved from what? From the wages of sin, which is death. I would ask, are you willing to be saved? Do you desire to be saved? I hope you do. See, there's no other way. There's no other way to be right with God than through faith in Jesus Christ. If there was, God acted a bit foolish in sending his son. If you could do it on your own, why would Jesus have had to come to die a terrible death? See, this is a problem with man-made religion. It's do, do, do. It skips over the real heart, the real issue. That man seeks to put a Band-Aid on a lethal wound. See, God sent his son into the world to save sinners. That's the great news of the Christmas story. I hope your heart rejoices in that. John 3:17, this is one of my son's favorite verses, and I know why. Because look at the content. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We have a great need, and God has met that need, and he desires for you and I to be saved. That's what he desires. I love that about our God. What a heart he has for those of us that are sinful and that need him, and that's all of us. I love that about our God. I hope you'll rejoice in that this morning. Well, I want you to know that joy is rediscovered as we note who they heard from. Look at verse 8 again. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying in the fields, out in the fields, and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. First Christmas began with an announcement. God sent an angel to suddenly appear to these shepherds, who certainly were shocked and stood in awe and were moved by what they had heard and seen. They heard, though, directly from heaven. That's who they heard from. God wanted them to know this. He wanted to say something to them. These 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to this moment in time were broken by a message from God. He wanted them to know that he had a message, and that message included, as verse 10 says, good news of great joy for all people, because a Savior was born. And that's the message. What did the message contain? Notice what the message contained. Joy is rediscovered when we understand what the message contains. Herein is the hope that we have, the expression of God through an angel. And it's as follows. It's good news. Look at verse 10. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. They were. You can bet on that. They were shocked by what was going on around them. The glory of the Lord shone, lit up the night. And an angel speaks to them, and he says to them, I have something for you from the Lord. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Good news. It's good news. Those 400 years of silence broken in this one moment. It's an evangelistic message. That is one that clearly the church has proclaimed from its onset, that God has sent his son to be the Savior of the world. A Savior has come. He's come for you, and he's come for me. Notice what it says. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. This is for everyone, and all of you need it. I need it as well. It's good news. It's good news. It's great joy. This message from God is this. It's in these words. It's contained there. It's expressed there. Great joy. Great joy. Great joy. The word great here is translated from megalene in the Greek. Mega, not to be confused with maga, but mega is what we get the word for mega, as in great. It has the idea of great in magnitude or size. It is used metaphorically in describing weight or importance. It's used in Revelation 19:1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. Great multitude, and it's a massive multitude in heaven. That same word, megalene, is used there. It's used in describing the joy that accompanies the birth announcement of Jesus. Good news of great joy. The implications are immense. Think with me, where would we be today without a Savior? What hope would you have? None. How would you get through life? Not very well. What hope would there be for your family, for your friends? Praise God, we have hope. Rejoice with me. Do you know this Savior? Is he your Lord? Have you realized that hope in placing your faith in Jesus Christ? And if you have, brothers, sisters, great joy. Don't miss it. To get up in the morning and to know that I know God, that I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and I can thank him that no matter what happens, I am safe and secure in him. That's great joy. And I think we can easily dismiss that the older we get. Let's not do that. But it's to everyone. Notice the scope of this message. Good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. It's for all the people. The scope of those included in this message is set before us. It's everyone. Here's a word for all people. This word is for you. This word is for me. It's a message of good news, of great joy. It's important to take note of the names given to Jesus here. Look at verse 11. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is no ordinary person. This is God in the flesh. He is the Savior. He, Jesus, means Savior. No one else can claim this. Christ means Messiah. He's the anointed one or the long promised one. And Lord here is the Old Testament equivalent of Jehovah. In other words, the Savior is God in the flesh. This is the message, the angel says, that I have for you and for all people. The long-promised Messiah has come. And he gives this message to shepherds. God has provided for you a Savior. A Savior saves. You know, some people believe that Jesus came to give us a great example of how it was to live, how we should live our lives on earth. Some people believe that. They see that as why he came. Others believe he came as a miracle worker, you know, someone teaching great messages about life and God. I want you to know that Jesus knew why he came, and he states it. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve in what? To give his life as a ransom for many. That's why he came. He came to rescue you. He came on a rescue mission. God sent him, and he said, I'll go for sinful man. He came to ransom us, to pay the sin penalty that you and I deserve. He did that on the cross. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking, he's saving who? The lost. That's what he's doing today. It's with great joy that we recognize that people are being saved today. People are placing their faith in Jesus Christ today. There'll be thousands saved all over this world. Maybe you will be one of them. If you don't know Christ, maybe today would be the day that you get it, that you acknowledge, hey, I have nothing before a holy God. I'm a great sinner, and I have a need. And God has met that need in sending his Son, and that as I place my faith in Jesus Christ, I am saved. The lost are all. You know, I'm glad he came for all because that means he came for me. He came to rescue me, to save me from the wages of sin. He came to set me free. He came seeking me, and he's still doing that today. He's still seeking. He's still searching. He's still saving individuals from sin's penalty. He's seeking you. You're hearing his word right now, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, is ministering that to you to help you to understand, to help you to respond. And I want to say this to you, that joy will be yours in abundance when he saves you. Brothers and sisters, may your joy be regained as you consider that there was a day he came to your heart, he opened your mind, and you trusted him as Savior. He saved you through faith in Christ. Never, ever in a million years get over this amazing truth. Don't set it aside. May your heart overflow with joy that he would save sinners like you and like me. He's so good, so merciful, so kind, so gracious that he would save, and that he would save me. I can't get over this. And it increases my joy to think about it. I hope that is true of you as well. You know, there's an abundance of bad news today, is there not, in this world? Those headlines sell, and they make the front page. If you simply look at a newspaper, if you look at any article online, you will notice it's all full of what? Good news? No. Bad news sells. It's all around us, but here's some good news. God sent his son to save. And if you're in Christ, praise the Lord. Good news of great joy for all people. May our hearts feast at this table of good news. May we celebrate. May we rejoice in this good news. And don't stop speaking about it. You guys will gather this Christmas, hopefully with family and friends. There'll be conversation. Part of that conversation needs to be the Christmas story. That God, in his grace, would send his perfect son to redeem those who are imperfect, and through faith, and that through faith in Christ, we are forgiven. We've been given a home in heaven. And maybe as a believer, you know, you've kind of stepped away from the Lord for some time. And God's calling you back, and you know where you're at, and you hear his voice, and he's saying to you, get back here. You need to repent of your sin, and here I am with arms wide open, ready to restore your fellowship. If that's the case, may repentance be yours today as you come back to our great God and our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Fourth thing I want you to notice is joy is rediscovered when we notice how heaven responded. I love this aspect of this story. Look at verses 13 to 15 with me. Okay, the angel said, okay, today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord, verse 11, verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Notice verse 13. Suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, what an event for these shepherds, huh? First, it's the glory of the Lord lights up the sky, and then this. Here's what they say, verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on peace among men with whom he is pleased. This is how heaven responded. Luke 15, we read, Jesus tells a number of parables there, but the whole point is there's great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Here, there's great rejoicing in heaven. It seems to just overflow in the fact that the Savior is coming to earth to save sinners. And it appears to me that heaven spills over in praise from heaven to earth. Seems this is exactly what happened. This is heaven's response. This is what we read in verses 13 and 15 through 15. If this is heaven's response, should not our hearts overflow in joy for what God has done, brother, sister? It should. Finally, joy is rediscovered when we consider its impact. Look at verses 15 right through verse 20. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, wouldn't you love to have been there? Wide-eyed, full of wonder. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it, we don't know that Mary and Joseph were alone there. There may have been family members that they traveled with. We're not sure. But all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. All who heard it were in awe. That's the bottom line. Mary, she pondered these things in her heart. She never forgot them. The shepherds, they would never be the same, not after this encounter. You can be sure they told this to everyone they knew every time they had a chance. If they ever married, there would be children and grandchildren who heard this story straight up from granddad, straight up from dad. But beyond that, look at how it changed them immediately. They went straight to Bethlehem to take a peek, straight to Jerusalem, straight to Bethlehem to take a peek. Notice how they understood the Lord had made this known to them. The Lord told them. This was a word from the Lord, and they responded. They were in no doubt as to what this message was and where it came from. And they dropped everything in a moment's notice to go and see. And what did they see? Think about it. They saw the face of God in a manger. That's what they saw. I was thinking this week that what would it have been like to look into the eyes of the infant Savior? What would that have been like? I wondered if they were aware that this was God in the flesh, the one who holds all things together and who created both them and the sheep they cared for. Hebrews 1:3 says of Jesus, he's a radiance of his glory, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What an amazing Savior we have. Could they have known that this one was the one to whom one day they would give an account of their lives, to whom one day every knee would bow? I wondered if they got all that. Were they able to grasp this about this infant they were looking at, that in 33 short years, there was a cross that waited for him? And as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he would be crucified for them as their sin bearer. I considered that when they were with Mary and Joseph beholding the infant Jesus, did they struggle to find words to speak as they stood in the presence of the first and only sinless one ever born? I wondered about that. I wondered if his glory as an infant was seeping through the manger in those cloths in a way that took them back in wonder, in awe, and in worship. Perhaps you've thought of times of great joy in your life. Remember, this event is described as good news of great joy. Perhaps there are some of those times in your life. I can think of some. For Becky and I, our wedding day, at least that's how I feel. Great joy. Great joy. She does the same. The birth of our children, what an incredible joy. What an incredible joy. Grandchildren, oh, that's a sweet, sweet joy. But the day I trusted Christ as Savior, that joy exceeds them all. Now, when all five of our children at various points in their lives trusted Christ as Savior, that joy was exceedingly great as well. And I still have that. This past year, I've had the opportunity to be close to a couple people who have come to faith in Christ. Incredible, incredible, incredible joy. I find no less joy at any time, in any place, when someone places their faith in Jesus Christ, because I know heaven rejoices. Why not us? Has he saved you? If he is, rejoice, brother and sister. We serve a living Christ who has given it all, that we might know him, that we might have an inheritance in heaven, that we might be released of our sins. Last I knew, he was risen. What a great Savior we have. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Listen, if you're here today, if you're online and you don't know that joy, and you're wondering what this is all about, I just want to encourage you. to think about a relationship with him. God sent his son. That's what Christmas is about. He sent his son with a purpose because people need to be saved from the penalty of their sin. And he is more than willing to reach down to you if you will trust him as Savior and release you from death, from darkness, from an eternity without him, and save you, gloriously save you today. And you will have joy beyond description. Brothers and sisters, don't ever forget it. One day, he reached down and saved sinners and saved you. He saved me. I can't get over it. We ought not to. Here's the thing. Let me finish here. As we glorify and praise God for the Savior, joy will be rediscovered. Continue or start to do that. Glorify God. I can't believe, and I'm so thankful he sent Jesus, and I'm so thankful he sent him for me. That will help you to rediscover joy. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for this incredible, incredible event. Thank you for the promise way back in Genesis 3:15 of a Savior. Thank you for all those prophecies leading up to the moment that Jesus comes as Messiah, as a Savior of the world. Thank you that you sent him. I praise you that he came. And I thank you that he came for sinners. Father, for those who have yet to trust Christ as Savior, may your Spirit move them. I pray they will not rest until they have dealt with you. For my brothers and sisters, Father, we get so caught up in today, in this life, in the events of this life, in the circumstances of things around us, that we can lose our joy of what it is to know you. Our hearts can be apathetic toward you. I pray you'll stir us and move us back to rediscover the great joy that is ours through faith in Jesus. Bless your people. May this Christmas be one like no other. May their rejoicing exceed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to be the first to wish you a very Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.